John chapter 6. I want to talk to you tonight about go get a life for yourself. John chapter 6, verse 66. You can never forget 666 because you have disciples forsaking the Lord. John 6:66. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus said therefore unto the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Philippians 3, verse 4. Speaking about confidence in the flesh, he says, if others think they have confidence in the flesh, I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If any other man thinketh himself to have confidence in the flesh, I yet more. And then he enumerates why he should have confidence in the flesh. Verse 7, howbeit, what things were gained to me? These have I counted lost for Christ, yea verily. And I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but down, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the word that tells us all things. It tells us how to become your children. And then it tells us how to live in this present evil world as your children. It tells us light from darkness, right and wrong. It tells us the truth about all things. And we thank you for that. And we desire to consider some thoughts tonight about what the world will tell us to do, what the world thinks about us, and to think of those things in the light of what your Son has said and what your disciples have written under the inspiration of the Spirit. So illumine us this night, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Go get a life for yourself. Those are contemptuous, insulting words. And when I heard them spoken by one sinner to another sinner, I confess that I was startled. Because, if I analyze them correctly, this one sinner was sitting in judgment upon another sinner, trying to humiliate him so that his position that was being criticized would be maintained as correct. I've seen something like that. I remember how that something similar happened to me so many years ago. Don Majewski, Dan Majewski, used to be concert master of the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra, and he was able to get me in to hear these concerts, but I couldn't get the best seat. You would have standing room behind this wall, and just before the concert started, a man would always come and say, stand here, do not go down the aisle to occupy any vacant seats, remain where you are. I remember my father sitting around and digging his head. Who is this functionary telling me what to do? But the truth of the matter is this. He was a functionary, wasn't an exalted position, but his business was to tell you not to go and sit in a seat that you didn't pay big money for, but you stand back there where you belong. You pay for standing room. And yet other people are trying to put him in his place. Just like this one sinner is telling another sinner, go get a life for yourself, whereas the one sinner was just carrying out his duty, correcting and informing this other man as to what he was doing was wrong. And so think of it now. If I analyze it correctly, if I tell you, go get a life for yourself, it means that I'm saying you do not have a life. You are nothing in the world, and you are wasting your time down here. But if I tell you that, I have a life. And if you live the way I did, then you would have a life in the world. But what happens is this, that the one who says, go get a life for yourself, is the one who has the most inferior life, and the person that he is criticizing has a life that may be that of a functionary, but it is a life. He has a job to do, and he's carrying it out. But since it affects you, you want to insult him, to humiliate him, to put him in his place. But it does not matter whether he has a life or he doesn't have a life. Now, what happens is that the ones that I've heard that insult other people, telling them that you are nothing, you're wasting your time, what you're doing in the world is of no consequence, they are the ones who usually would tell their fathers and mothers, go get a life for yourself. And why would they tell their parents that? Because the father has gone to work every day of his life, has maintained a job, has brought home a paycheck, has fed and clothed that son, has sent money to send him through school, and now that he's through school, he tells his father and brother and mother, and they would say to him, son, settle down now, study, settle down, quit this carousing and running around, quit this drunkenness. And so this son turns on his parents and says, go get a life for yourself. Because you see, that life of consistent, everyday living, not being weary in well-doing, that which cared for that son, provided for him, put him through school, that son now speaks of it contemptuously, and he doesn't want to live a life that way. And so he says to his parents, who have a life that is acceptable in the sight of God, he tells him to go get a life, and he must mean a life like my life. It could be a life of debauchery, of fornication, a life of rebellion, a life of disobedience to any authority that exists, and that is the kind of life that he tells his parents to go and get. And that's the kind of life that these worldlings are telling us to go and get. But now, what is so interesting is this, that when they say, go get a life for yourself, notice, they have to say, go get a life for yourself. Why? They have no life themselves to offer to the person that they are insulting. And I was contrasting that with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in contrast to this man, he says, go get a life for yourself. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, you come unto me, you eat my flesh, you drink my blood spiritually, and you will have life. The Lord Jesus says, not go and get a life. He says, you come, I have a life, and I will give you that life. That is the difference in the world that would cast these insults into our teeth that have nothing to offer, and that's what the Lord Jesus tells. He tells a person on an occasion to go, and it was so interesting, and I noticed this. This man said, go get a life for yourself. The Lord Jesus says to the rich young ruler, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. He comes, follow me. He says, go, and he tells him what to do, and he tells him if he does it, he will have treasure in heaven. And then he says, you come and follow me. And the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so that's the difference in the exhortations that are given by men of God and by those that are alienated from God, separated from God, but they have these things in our teeth. Now, what I have to tell you to change is this, that these individuals whom I have described that are fecky, miscreants, that are unworthy to be acknowledged by their parents, I must confess that they have the ability to detect hypocrisy in us, your children of God. You understand that? In fact, they are quicker to notice it than anybody else. Now, I remember 40 years ago when I was trying to witness to my uncle, and what I was telling him he understood was different from the ordinary religion that he was accustomed to, and I was trying to witness to him, and he said, oh yes, words like this. He said, you have a religion like Singing Bets used to have. I remember him. He made ice cream, and when he made that ice cream, he would water it down, so he could make more money. Isn't that remarkable? He detected that flaw in that man. So he said it was ice cream, and I suppose he thought he was selling sherbet or something like that. But he had noticed that very thing. And God tells us that that happened, and it grieved the heart of God. Both Isaiah and Paul say this, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And when Peter committed that sin with Bathsheba, you'll find that Nathan said to him, your sins are forgiven. Nevertheless, you've given great occasion to the enemy to reproach God, to speak against all of these things that God stands for. And we have to acknowledge that when a worldling, when a sinner comes and rebukes us for hypocrisy, we can say nothing. And this Jewish man that I witnessed to, I try to witness to him from the Old Testament, he throws in my face about this incident of David. He says, and the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, and David was a murderer, and David was an adulterer. Don't tell me about David being a man after God's own heart. And what can I say? I could plead with him and say, look at his confession of sin in Psalm 51. It means nothing to him. And so the enemy has great occasion to blaspheme because of the hypocrisy that is in the lives of the children of God. And I say to shame this, that you and I, even though we are children of God, still have sin, and we can still enjoy sin. The Bible speaks about sin and the pleasures of it. Who are those who say, there's no pleasure in sin? The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How is it pleasure in sin? Now there is a bitterness in the mouth, a taste of bitterness after all of it is past. But while it is going on, it is a pleasure of sin. And therefore, when the world sees us engaged in the same pleasures that they are engaged in, they laugh at us and they dismiss any testimony that we try to have. You're no different from me. You like that sin? I like that sin. There's no difference between us. And I can remember this when I was first saved. I didn't know, I tell you the truth. Some things that you weren't supposed to do after you were first saved, I was in the Navy, and we fellas, when we got all the money, we would go and play poker. And so after I was saved, I immediately started witnessing during the daytime, but at night I would go and play poker with my fellow Navy men. And then after I'd done that, there was another Jewish fellow. His name was Al Sloot, and I can remember him. And I tried to witness to him, and he said, no, he said, let's have a little more walk and a little less talk. And so there was nothing I could do. It was humiliating. He saw this defect in me, and he laid hold on it immediately. But the fact of the matter is that when someone comes and speaks to me now, by God's grace, he's not going to criticize me the way he did David for Bathsheba. And by the grace of God, he's not going to criticize me the way that Peter and I, our Savior, and others could say, why, with an oath and with cursing, you denied the Lord Jesus. And that's why I pray every day, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the power of evil. Why? Lest the enemy look upon my life that's supposed to be lived to the glory of God. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But to do those things would give the enemy occasion to blaspheme the name of God, to discredit the testimony that we give concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we try to avoid it. So it can detect all of these things. However, if someone were to come to me, a sinner, speaking to me as a child of God, and say, go get a life for yourself, the first thing I would say is this, if he would listen to me. I do not recognize your qualifications to determine a life that is worthy to be called a life. And he doesn't have that qualification. And the second thing I would say is this. I do not recognize your authority to sit in judgment upon me, saying that what I have is not a life. And then I would proceed to show him, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. But it says he that is spiritual will discern it all things, and yet he is judged, he is not discerned any man. He can't comprehend such a thing, but he's not going to cast that in my case. Because if he said, go get a life for yourself, I would say, I have got a life for myself. And that reason, I'm telling you, I will go and get a life for myself. If you will tell me a life to go to that is equal or superior to the life that I'm living now. And that is why I read to you John chapter 6. When the Savior turned to his disciples, when his other disciples were leaving, he said, even though he's expecting no for an answer, he said to them, will you also go away? And Peter, thank God for this answer. It's equal to his denial. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so, yes, let a sinner tell me, go get a life for yourself. And I will go and get that life if you will tell me any life that is equal or superior to the life that Jesus Christ has given. But they have no life, they didn't. Let me tell you a thing that is so beautiful. You may desire to study it on your own. In Genesis chapter 4, after our parents had been cast out in chapter 3, then Cain killed his brother, and it says, he goes out from the presence of God. And it says, he knew his wife, and she begat children, begat a son, and it says, he built a city, and named that city after his son. And then it speaks of his offspring, and when it speaks of his offspring, it tells of those that are seeking to enjoy life outside the garden. Because understand, it is an art form, how to enjoy life outside the garden. And it says, concerning his descendants, that some of them lived in tents, and they kept cattle. And it said, some of them make pipes and harps. And some of them are artisans and are artists. And you look at those things, You say, oh, that is exactly what the world is doing today. It speaks about some men that are satisfied with the things of the world, and they leave their substance unto babes, and they name parcels of land after their themselves and leave these things to their children. And you will find that their life is spent in music, in artistry, in design, because artificers are spending their lives in those areas. And yet all of those things are attempts to enjoy life outside the garden, because man has turned his back on God. God told Cain he had an opportunity to repent, to offer the sacrifice and the right attitude of mind, but he refused to do it. And so God drove him out. And so he said, I'm going to enjoy life outside the garden. And that is what man does. And therefore, when we come with something that is a life, that is when they pass in our teeth that we are to go get a life. And yet I think of the only life that they can tell me to get, the only life that they would say was of any consequence, and this is what they would say. They would say that I am a fornicator, I'm living with a woman that is not my wife, and if she gets pregnant, I'm going to tell her to have an abortion. I have no intention to work. I'm going to get money from every person I can. I'm going to live a life of disobedience. I'm going to live a life of selfishness. And I'm telling you, go get a life. And I say, the only life that you can tell me to get is this life that you are living, that is pleasant in your eyes, and which is reprehensible in the sight of God. And it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that will get God. And so, no, I'm not concerned anymore. When a worldling would come and tell me, go get a life for yourself, because I had the best time of life. And what is so interesting, when I told you, I have got a life for myself, that is correct grammar. You'll find that that's what they say in England, and that's the first preference. We say, I get, I got, I have gotten. But the English is, I get, I got, I have got. And that's the first preference, even in an American dictionary. And so I have got a life, and it was given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ when I came with a sinner, as a sinner, with empty hands, and the Savior said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And I considered the life that I had been living in the flesh. And I understood that that life, as the Apostle Paul said, I count that life that I live, but dung. Now notice, the world not only has lives that they think are lives, like the ones I told you, but there are those like the Apostle Paul who could say, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day. Who could say concerning the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. And so that is the life that he would say, I want you to go and get a life just like mine. Like that Pharisee who in the temple stood and prayed thus with God. God with himself. God, I thank you that I am not as other men. And it was true, you see. He wasn't an adulterer. He gave tithes of all that he possessed. He wasn't one that had abandoned his nation. And yet the Lord Jesus said, that man is not justified. And he thought that all the things he was telling God, they were the best kind of thing. It was the most glorious life. And the Apostle Paul said, yes, I went through that same phase. And I look upon it all, and I now evaluate it. I found it all but dumb. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And so, understand this, that they have no authority and they have no qualification to tell me I do not have a life and that I should get a life, but I have every qualification and every authority to cast the same back into their teeth and to tell them to go get a life, because they do not have a life. And if they say, when I witness to them, mind your own business, I say, I am minding my own business, because God says, we are ambassadors, therefore, for Christ. My Savior has authorized me to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Apostle Paul says, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. And so any time I go to a sinner and tell him, go get a life for yourself, I'm telling him to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, because there are two kinds of lies. There are lies, like unto those that Cain is trying to live, and the modern Cains and godless individuals are trying to live, and then their lives like that life that the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. And when you see the difference, then you are able to evaluate what is right indeed. And this is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, I want you to lay hold on life that is life indeed. In the King James it says, lay hold unto eternal life. But what it says is more exactly, lay hold on life that is really life. And that's what we have. But understand, and in the will of God, that's what I will tell you next week, about laying hold on that life that is ours. The Lord Jesus said this, in contrast to the worldling who insults us and tells us to go get a life, but he can't point us to any life that is worth going to get. The Lord Jesus said, the hiring, the thief, they come for one purpose. They come to destroy, to steal, to ruin the flock. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so that's the difference in the Lord Jesus and the world. And so if the Savior says, come unto me, and I say to him, what do you have for me? He says, I have life, and I have abundant life for you. If you come unto me in drink, I have water to give you, but you can't find in that well. And so for that reason, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I will go and tell men to come to the Lord Jesus. I will tell them, you do not have a life. You have something that God calls death. You are dead in your trespasses and in your sins. But if you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pass from death unto life. And from that day forward, you can live a life for the glory of God. And you will be able to say to Paul, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, for all of us, I say, go get a life for yourself. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that as we consider life around us and we see the worldly, at times we say with Asaph, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Forgive us, Lord. We know what we are, but forgive us when we look upon what he has and we think about him outside the sanctuary. And then as Asaph, when he had all of these thoughts that were breaking his heart, he said, I felt this way until I went into the sanctuary of God and considered their latter end. He said, I was so foolish. I was so brutish. Oh God, forgive. And so help us, Father, when we look at the world and we see the pleasures that they are enjoying, let us understand the consequences that shall flow out of those pleasures. They're pleasures of sin for a season. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said that if any man hear my words and receive them not, the same that I spoke unto him shall judge him in the last day. So, Father, let us be satisfied with the life that you give. Let us understand that it's life indeed. And let us understand that it's the abundant life. And there is no life that we can exchange for it that is equal or superior. It is the only life. And we thank you that Jesus Christ came to give it. And when he offered it, we accepted it. Now, our Father, we have got a life. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.